Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. I am one of three co-hosts back after missing our debut episode last week, but I was here last year. We'll explain all that. I'm Jimmy Traina, a writer and producer here at SI.com, Traina Thoughts Every Day, SI Media Podcast, joined by senior NFL editor Gary Gramling. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy, and a hearty welcome back.
Thank you. I was terrible all year till last Sunday, so good timing for me. And we're also joined by Mitch Goldich, who is a NFL and fantasy writer producer at SI.com.
Mitch, hello, Jimmy.
How you doing?
I'm 3-0. I'm doing great.
So we have Mitch this season. Gary and I did this last season. We had a lot of fun with it. I'm sure we will have fun with it again. I know I was surprised by how many people on Twitter were asking for the gambling podcast to return, Gary. So
yeah, I mean, we gave the people what they want. We're men of the people, if nothing else.
Who knew? I'm sure they wanted our picks to go against, and you know, they wanted to make some money. So it took us till week 7 to have all three of us together, but now we have the meat of the season and the postseason to dive into. So we'll have fun with it, break down every game, and give you our thoughts on sides and totals.
You know, they say the first month of the season is the preseason
right now.
So this is just, we took the preseason yeah. off, and now here we are with our picks.
Well, like I said, I basically lost money every week until last Sunday. Thank you, Saints over the Jaguars. So did you guys do best bets last week? What were your records?
I'll start, and then we'll do the drum roll. I was 3-1, an impressive 3-1. I wonder if anyone topped that. Mitch, how do you do?
I already said I was 3-0.
Oh, you did say that. That was that was actually the first words out of your mouth.
I had to make sure that we were not going to get too far into the podcast without me saying, I'm not going to be 3-0 for very long. So while I'm 3-0, now's the time to make sure everyone knows it.
You have said 3-0 like 7 times already. We're 2 minutes in. I should mention, Jimmy, the one, so obviously we were, if you do the math, a combined 6-1.
Yeah.
The one I missed was an old favorite of ours from last year, was a Sunday night. Steelers, Chargers.
Oh,
wrong end of that again.
I still have PTSD from last year's loss when they were letting people do false starts and not calling penalties. But the officiating this year has been worse, so I'm sure we'll get into that when we talk about some of these games. So let's a collective 6-1 from Gary and Mitch. Very impressive. We'll see if they can keep it up. Let's now go around the horn here and give you a little something on each game. We started off Sunday, 1 o'clock, Rams, 3-point road favorites at the Falcons, total 54. Rams now, a lot of warts on the Rams after a rough couple of weeks for them. Can they do it on the road, -3? Gary.
I know. The Jalen Ramsey addition is nice. I do think Ramsey will play this week. I think that was a bit of the, I don't know what you call it, blue flu type of a deal going on with the Jaguars there. They didn't fix the offensive line. You can't fix the offensive line this time of year, and that's really the Rams' Achilles heel at this point. That said, everyone's gotten right against the Falcons. I'm leaning towards best betting this one, even as road favorites here for the Rams, but Falcons are done. I mean, they're playing on the string here.
It's pretty wild that you have a game here involving the Falcons, but the story is the other team, because the Falcons are really one of the big stories in the NFL this year, just how bad they've been. Mm-hmm. Mitch, what are your thoughts on the Rams -3 at Atlanta?
I'm with you there, but I still have some hope. I mean, I look at the Falcons roster, and obviously they've underperformed, but they still don't look like a team to me that's going to finish the season 3-13. They're going to pick up wins somewhere, and like you said warts on the Rams. Which is a nice visual image there. But the Rams, they have all kinds of question marks, and it looks like both of their running backs are hurt, so it could be a lot of Darrell Henderson. And I know that the Falcons are a major risk to lay an egg, but I just feel like they're going to have a few wins, and getting them +3 at home against a struggling team, I actually lean toward the Falcons here. Again, I know there are obvious risks, but they're going to win a couple of games this season. They're going to have to grab a couple that we aren't expecting, and this feels like it could be one of those weeks for them.
I'd probably stay away from a side here, but I do like the over in that game. I don't really care about Jalen Ramsey and Ramsey going to the Rams. Who knows if he's playing or not? I think he is based on stuff I've read today. Gary, you might know a little more about that.
Again, it's a little bit of gut feel and a little bit based on the reports, but yeah. I think he's going to suit up.
But these are two awful defenses on every level. So over 54 inside the dome would be where I'd go on this one. I'm sure you guys are with me. Who would have ever thought we'd see a game where the Bills were 17-point favorites with Josh Allen at quarterback? But here we are. With the Dolphins coming to Buffalo, Buffalo minus 17, total 40.5. Ryan Fitzpatrick in for Josh Rosen. Mitch, can the Bills cover this spread?
They can. I'm going to pick the under 41 in this game. So here's the thing. I understand why Miami should be plus 17 basically every week when they're not playing the horrible Redskins like they were last week. But, you know, I think you're getting to it here. The Bills just don't. I like them, and they've been good, but they've been led by their defense, and they just don't strike me as the kind of team that's going to run out in front of somebody and win a game by 3 touchdowns, 17 points or whatever. I'm looking at the implied total here. Looks like they should win 29-12. I have a very hard time seeing how Miami scores more than 13 points in this game. I could see an ugly final score, like the Bills win 22-10 or something strange like that. I think they're going to want to run the ball. They're going to have, looks like they'll have Devin Singletary back. So, they could win by that much, but I just feel safer picking the under. Because if you think Miami's going to score 10 or 13, then, it's hard to imagine Buffalo scoring that many points.
Right. Gary, lay the big number or take the points?
Oh, boy. I kind of want to stay away from this overall. I think I'm picking Dolphins in like our staff picks where we pick everything. It's such a Josh Allen, such a wild card, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is such a wild card. You could have like 9 turnovers in this game. I think the scenario that Mitch lays out is the most likely. I mean, the Bills defense is just going to completely overwhelm the Dolphins offense, and they're going to run the ball 45 times and get out of there with 17-3 type of win. But both quarterbacks just such wild cards. It scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, this is a stay away for me too. If I had a lean, I'd go Buffalo, because like Mitch said, I don't see how Miami scores. I think Mitch is being generous thinking they get to 13. I don't even see that happening. It's just a matter of, the Bills are not exactly the run and shoot Oilers, so they could struggle a little bit to put up the points to cover.
I was going to say, you got to picture like 3 pick sixes.
Exactly. Yeah, which can happen. So it's a stay away from me. If I had it lean, I'd go Buffalo. Next game, the Jaguars go into Cincinnati, who have been awful. The Jaguars are giving a field goal. The total here is 43.5. Gardner Minshew against the Bengals. Gary.
I like the Bengals quite a bit in this one, as much as you can like the Bengals, I suppose. On one hand, and I'll just touch on the Jaguars real quick, I mean, the Ramsey trade is a confirmation that they are done for this season. They have overachieved to this point, and maybe they keep it going here. But as far as the Bengals go, look, the Bengals are bad. I don't think they're as bad as, their 0-6 record indicates. They've been in a couple of games. We know they almost won in Seattle. They were right there at the end with the Bills at home, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, lost on a last-second field goal last week. And I cited that last week that their red zone numbers are sort of artificially low. And I think as that evens out as the season goes on, I think the Bengals will be all right. I think they're going to be like a 4-12 team, but I think they're going to sort of overachieve against the spread from here on in.
So so they're only getting 3 here. So you think outright Bengals win here is in order?
Yeah, I think these two teams are pretty even. I think this is a neutral field pick'em. So I do like this. I do like the fact that the Bengals are getting points here at home.
Mitch.
So I disagree, actually. I like the Jags to win. The thing about the Jalen Ramsey trade that's interesting to me is it really doesn't affect the team on the field because he hasn't played the last at least two, maybe three weeks.
Well, shockingly, his back is a little better now.
It is.
No, miracle in L.A. now.
Yeah, so his absence or not being on the roster anymore, really it doesn't affect the team they put on the field, and yet it does kind of feel like they might get an emotional lift from it, just that the players who are left are going to be probably happy to see him finally gone and move on and motivated to show what they can do without him, even though, again, they've been playing without him for a couple of weeks. It just feels like that, especially such an outspoken guy, and he's been a leader of the team and a great player over the last few years, it seems like you can't measure it, but there will be some impact on the guys who are left. So I like the Jags. Their star has faded a little bit, but it looks like the last 2 games they lost against playoff contenders. They could both be in the playoffs, the Panthers and the Saints, and those were pretty – the final scores were close. I think the Bengals are missing both of their starting corners. Is that right? So this could be a game where DJ Chark, who I love, who's been great, could be the Minshew to Chark show. So I would pick the Jaguars, and I'm happy to pick them -3.
I'm sort of with you both and against you both. I do not think the Bengals are as good as Gary. Not that Gary said they were good, but I think they're much worse than Gary thinks. And I think the Jaguars are worse than Mitch thinks. So I don't have a lean here. I think, listen, the Gardner Minshew thing got so out of control. I mean, they were 1-2, and the guy's having like feature stories and feature videos done about him because he wears jorts and has a mustache. And it just doesn't make you a good quarterback. He should have lost in Denver. They lost at Carolina, and their offense, yes, the Saint defense is very good, but was completely inept last week. I think their offense obviously plays better against the Bengals. If I had a lean here, I'd go under, though. I don't see the Bengals putting up any points here, and I don't think the Jaguar offense is that good, but it's a stay away from me. Now we finally get to a good game, NFC North. The Vikings go into Detroit. The Vikings giving a point to the Lions. Total here, 45. Mitch, what do you like?
Yeah, so I like the Vikings. I just think, in general, they're a better team. I've been wrong about Detroit, so I have to be careful saying that. They have impressed me. There have been a few games. That Chiefs game comes to mind first. I mean, we know the Chiefs have lost two games since then, so maybe we all overrated them a little bit. But the Lions have been impressive. Still, the Vikings are... they've gotten their passing game right the last 2 weeks. Finally, they got Thielen right 1 week and then Diggs right the next week. They are definitely a better team at home, but this is a road game, but they're still playing in a dome. Importantly, I hate to be cliche, but we're going to get 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins, which you have to feel a little bit better about with them going to the game. And I'm just not quite ready to take Detroit seriously, even though they've been better than I expected. It still feels like they find a way to lose a lot of these games. Last week a lot of that came down to the officiating at the end of the Packers game, and I know that, but still they found a way to lose that Chiefs game back in week one. They kind of blew that game against the Cardinals. It ended up being a tie, and I just still want to see them win more of these games, these close games against division teams, before I go ahead and pick them. So this one is close to being a stay away from me, but I just think Minnesota's the better team, and I think they're going to go on the road and win the game.
Gary, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, Mitch, those were fighting words about my Lions there, but I'm with you on that. This one's going to be close. I mean, the Lions aren't going to run out and win this game by 20 points if they win it. So you just wonder, when it comes down to a one possession game at the end, I feel better about the Vikings in that scenario than I do about the Lions, as good as Matthew Stafford has been. It's almost like I'd feel better about the Lions trying to play from behind in the fourth quarter than actually protecting like a 7 or 10 point lead. I have a slight Lions lean here, getting points at home, or getting point at home. But what do we have this at, Jimmy?
Vikings -1, total 45.
Okay, yeah. So I'll lean Lions, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I like the Lions here. Mitch said, and rightfully so, the Vikings have sort of gotten the passing game on track with Diggs and Thielen in the last couple of weeks. But you have to believe in Kirk Cousins to think it stays on track. I don't. And I think against the very underrated Lions defense in Detroit, I think it's going to be a long day for Kirk Cousins in this one. And I would assume the Lions are just going to be so pissed off after getting screwed last week by the refs that they come out and want to do a number here on the Vikings. So
I wonder if there are some suspect calls that will go the Lions' way this week.
They deserve them, that's for sure. So I like the Lions in this one. We stay in the NFC North for one of these teams. The Packers are at home. They were in that game with Detroit, and the refs obviously had some interest in the Packers that evening, and we'll see what happens this week with the Packers at home giving 6.5 points to the Raiders. Raiders playing better over the last few weeks, and the total here, 46.5. Packers -6.5, total 46.5 in Green Bay with the Raiders coming to town. Gary, what do you got?
Still trying to figure out these Raiders here. They have started out so well in games. You got to give John Gruden credit. I mean, he deserves to be mocked for the rest of his life for the Khalil Mack trade, but got to give him credit with the work he's done with this team this season. I guess it kind of comes down to Davante Adams for me. Are they going to have him? You know, the Packers looked a little bit more like a Matt LaFleur offense last week as opposed to Aaron Rodgers doing his improv thing that he did for so many years under Mike McCarthy, which used to work with all the veteran guys, doesn't work so well with all the young guys there. So I will at least lean Oakland plus six on this one, and I'll let one of you guys try and talk me into it or out of it.
Mitch, do you think?
Well, first off, I'm going to go back. Can we just say on this game, and we've talked about the refs and how they won the game for the Packers, but what a cover from the Lions with Jamal Williams not running into the end zone and then kicking the field goal to win by a point.
And also, not to interrupt, kept the game under. If you bet the over in that, you're not exactly thrilled with Jamal Williams.
Huge play. What an amazing cover for the Lions. So you said plus six. I saw this game at plus five, actually. I leaned Green Bay. And again, I know the Raiders are coming off the bye week, but they're in that stretch that everyone's been talking about where they basically have five straight road games because their one home game was in London. And so this is their fourth in five. And you wonder at some point if that'll catch up with them, again, even though they're coming off the bye. And last week they were very fired up to face Khalil Mack. And, you know, I think that was a huge game for Gruden. So you wonder if there is a little bit of a letdown after a big win for them out in London. The Packers are 5-1, but kind of in an ugly way, which actually might be a good thing because they actually might be better than a lot of what we've seen from them. So, you know, this is a game I definitely expect Green Bay to win. The big question is just, will they cover? Because I could easily see them winning by a field goal. And so to pick them, you know, expect them to cover, you know, 5 or 6 points is a little bit tougher. This, I probably wouldn't actually bet this, but I come down a slightly leaning Green Bay.
Yeah, I've been burned by the Raiders a lot this year, so I'm staying away from this game. I'm with you, though, Mitch. I mean, the Packers, to me, have been a very unimpressive 5-1, and the Raiders have been trying hard. They seem motivated by Gruden. So I could see this game being close, but I don't have a lean or a feel either way on side or total. Let's move on now to one of the better games of the day, more important games of the day on Sunday. The Texans, coming off a big win against the Chiefs in Kansas City, now go into Indianapolis to face the Colts. The Colts are a 1-point home favorite. Total here, 48 with the Colts and Texans. Mitch, who do you like?
The Texans are my babies, if you recall, for anyone who listened last week. I've got my my big preseason bet on them to win the Super Bowl that I have my eye on. And I don't know what the current odds are, but it has to be lower than 50-1 like I got them on in August. So this is a game. I lean Texans. I've said all along I think that they're going to win the AFC South. I know it's a little tougher. They're going on the road, and it looks like the Colts are going to have both T.Y. Hilton and Darius Leonard back, and that's a big boost. Obviously, those are two really good players. Colts are also coming off a bye, so really I'm sitting here telling you I'm going to take the Texans and then rattling off points why I like the Colts this week. But, you know, their two home games they've had this year, the Colts, they barely beat the Falcons. They lost to the Raiders. So I don't think we should get too wrapped up in home field advantage the way they've played there this year. And I'm never afraid to pick a road team. I tweet out my super contest picks, picking along with that. And anyone who's followed me on Twitter knows that I've spent the last 5 years picking 4 or 5 road teams a week. And I love picking road teams to win straight up or cover. So, you know, I it feels a little lame because I don't have a great answer or a great reason. I just think that Houston's the better team. And so if I see a 1-point spread, I'm going to go with pick them to cover if I think they're going to win. This is like I was killing myself earlier trying to decide if this was a stay away or a Houston game. And I know that I'm talking myself into circles. It's probably one of those that's a stay away until like 12:58 and then they're about to kick off. Right. And then it's like, you know what? Like, let me just do it. Let me reluctantly put some money on the Texans because they're the team that I expect to win. But I wouldn't fault anyone for saying they're two good teams. And let me stay away from it.
We've all been there. What did you say your odds were on the Texans?
I got them 50-1 to win the Super
Bowl. 50-1. Okay, because I'm on Five Dimes, site I frequently am on, if you know what I mean. And they're only plus 2,400 right now. So,
yeah.
Good value.
Good value.
Good value right there. All right, Gary, what do you got on the Colts and Texans.
I'm actually, I'm going with those underappreciated Colts. I think the Colts just had the Texans. They just had a beat on the Texans last year, and I don't think anything has necessarily changed this season.
Was last year that weird game where it had to be because it was his first year where they went for the, was it Vray? No,
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich went for it on the fourth down instead of...
In overtime. So it was going to be a tie and ended up being a Texans win in the first matchup. And then when the Colts... I mean, the Colts dominated them twice last year.
Right.
And obviously no Andrew Luck, but those two wins were not so much Andrew Luck as they were the defense and the offensive line just controlling that game for the Colts. And in their own building here, it's essentially a pick 'em. I really like the Colts in this one.
Yeah, I think what would concern me here about the Texans is that was a big road win at Kansas City. Now you're asking them to win another road game against another good team. Obviously, Colts not anywhere nearly as explosive as the Chiefs, but I think you might get a little let down here from the Texans. I'd be a little nervous going with Houston. I do like that over 48, though, if you had to make me pick something here. I think you'll see points in this one. Let's move on to a NFC game. The Giants at home giving a field goal to the Arizona Cardinals, who come in with rookie Kyler Murray. The total here somehow is 50, which, well, we'll get into it. I think that's a bit shocking considering the Giant offense, although Saquon Barkley is back. But Gary, where do you go here? Giants -3. Against the Cardinals, total 50.
No, I'm with you, Jimmy. I circled that 50 when I saw it here. Yes, Giants have everyone back. They have Saquon Barkley back, Evan Engram back. It's going to be their full complement of players for the first time, really in a while here. I'd lean Giants here. I think, and as Mitch knows, I'm a body clock guy. I think the West Coast team, especially the Cardinals, zigzagging across the country here. I think that has an effect. They're back east, early start. Really, I think it's just, I think their two teams are pretty evenly matched at this point. I will go with the Giants getting, if this one swung to 3.5, that would probably change my mind. But if it's sitting at 3 even, I like the Giants here. But I'm with you, Jimmy. I don't think either of these quarterbacks are going to be overly turnover prone, one, because of the defenses they're facing, and two, I mean, look, the Giants fell behind in Foxborough, and they were playing with essentially a bunch of practice squad guys around Daniel Jones, and that led to a bunch of turnovers last week. I don't think that's the case this week,
right.
And I think their defense has been better. I think this one is played in the, 20 to 24 point type range for both teams.
I mean, the Giant defense is very bad, but I just can't. 50 is such a high total. And one thing I'd say about the Giants that I've been confused about the last couple weeks, the first game that Daniel Jones played against Tampa Bay in Tampa, I felt like the play calling there was very unique and they did a little everything. He was running bootlegs. He was running QB draws. And since that game, I felt like the offense has been so conservative. You have not seen him running the way he ran in that game. Ran for the winning touchdown, as a matter of fact. I don't know if it's Pat Shurmur's just, not a great coach or why they've gone so conservative. Especially without Barkley the last few weeks, you think they'd get creative on offense. Their offense has been completely uncreative. They have had a lot of injuries. So the last couple weeks have been surprising to me about that with the Giants. And the Arizona, Kyler Murray's played well. I think it's a tough game to handicap. Let's hear what Mitch has on this game.
Yeah, so the Giants are bad, and it's important to remember that. Everyone went so nuts about that first game against the Bucks, but it's important to remember that they won that game because the Bucks shanked a field goal at the end.
Mm.
And it's funny that, after everyone who loves the Giants or hates the Giants or loves Eli or hates Eli gets all up in arms about QB wins, that I think a lot of the perception of Daniel Jones, I know he played well in that game, but still a lot of perception is always going to be shaped by whether they won or lost, which just happens for quarterbacks. So they beat the Bucks on the kick, then they beat an awful Redskins team, and they haven't been good since. You're right, Saquon is back. We don't know that he's going to be 100%. He looks really good in videos from practice, but obviously that's very different. And, you know, he's coming back really quickly. If it really is a high ankle sprain, then, you know, he's coming back quick enough that you really have to wonder how much he'll heal. So we've seen the Cardinals. They've won a couple games. We know that they can take care of business against bad teams. So I don't feel too strongly about this because the Giants are getting healthy. But this is one where, you know, this isn't going to be a best bet for me. But I do – I lean Arizona, you know, getting three, especially someone mentioned 3.5. If you can get 3.5, then – or no, wait. I have that backwards. Anyway, whatever.
You like Arizona, so if you can get 3.5, you're right. Yeah. The Giant defense scares me because it's really bad, and I think against a quarterback like Murray, who can do a lot of different things, it's worrisome. But I would lean Giants only because of Barkley. I think he's going to come back and have a monster game. He is hungry. The reports are, you know, he's been practicing during the week, so I lean Giants only because of Barkley, and I think a big game there. But again, the Giant defense worries me, so I wouldn't go all in on it. Speaking of team that has really dominated this season, the San Francisco 49ers, giving 10 on the road against the pathetic Redskins. The total is 41.5. Mitch, where do you go here?
I'm doing it. I'm taking the 49ers here. I think we know that on talent level, the 49ers are that much better than the Redskins based on how they've played this season. And I think a lot of times with these double-digit spreads, it comes down to whether or not the favorite really wants to win by double digits. And the fact that the 49ers, I mean, their defense is very hungry and good. And I think they're out to not just win, but to prove to everybody how good they are. We saw Richard Sherman's press conference where he's yelling at everybody, you know, if you didn't believe in us then, don't believe in us now and whatever. This just strikes me as the kind of game where if and when the 49ers get up by two scores, their defense is going to play all 60 minutes. They're not the kind of team that's going to, you know, go up 14 and then take their foot off the gas and give up that backdoor cover.
Good point.
They are, I think they want to win by double digits and show everybody something and send a message. And so that's why I feel comfortable that they are going to win by that much.
Gary?
I was going to say that the backdoor cover is what makes me so nervous with the Redskins here. They got me a couple times this year. Or I should say they got me once in week one when they got that late one against the Eagles, and they got me on a total with a late one against the Cowboys. But the only thing that makes me nervous about this one is Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's been so uneven this year, and, you know, whatever. Does he throw 3 interceptions, and you know, Washington's not going to win this game, but that's enough to have him hanging around in this one. So I will stay away from it. I will, as Mitch said, I will lean 49ers here, but not feeling great about it.
I love the 49ers in this one. Yes, 10 on the road, it's a red flag for sure, but I mean, my God, the Redskins basically have the Dolphins purposely not convert a 2-point conversion because they're tanking to win last week. I mean, if you can't go into Miami and come away with a clean victory there, when are you ever going to? I mean, no one thinks that obviously the Redskins are going to beat the Niners, but I'll lay the 10. I'm sorry. The Redskins stink so bad that I don't think it's an, like you said, the Niners are one of these teams. They're going to put pedal to the metal. They want to send the message. They want to show people they're for real. One factor worries me: coming off a win against the Rams, letdown could be a factor here, but the Redskins are so bad, I think that offsets that problem. 4 o'clock games now on Sunday. There's 3 of them. We start in Tennessee, Titans, now Ryan Tannehill at the helm. Goodbye, Marcus Mariota.
Ooh.
Giving 2 points to the, I think, the most confusing and disappointing team in the NFL so far this season, the Chargers. Total here is 40. Gary, Titans -2 with the incoming Chargers. Total 40. Where do you go?
Both these teams so disappointing. I thought the Titans were a sleeper here. It's not going to work out with Mariota. Tannehill's not the answer. I'll lean Chargers just because, I mean, look, they have no home field advantage at home. You know, permanent road team here. I don't like either team, to be honest, though. I have to think if you're a member of the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill is going under center. That's not firing you up for this one.
Yeah, this is a game that's the only people watching this game are the degenerates. There's no one else. This is a game solely for the degenerates. Because seriously, at 4 o'clock Sunday, can you spend 3 hours watching Ryan Tannehill? Not unless you have money on
it. And you know what's going to happen is Red Zone's going to cut to this game 50 times.
Oh, don't get me started on Red Zone. I could do it. If you want a 20-minute sidebar on Red Zone, which I have for the first time this year watched in my life, and I'm the only person in America who hates it. I mean, they're showing me 20 minutes last week of Dolphins Redskins. I'm saying this is what people are so excited about. But I don't want to get off on a tangent. Anyway, this is a gambler special, so I feel like we need to really break it down for the audience. So, Mitch, go for it.
These are two teams that I've been staying away from all season, and it feels like they're playing against each other for the fifth time already this year. Both of these teams I'm just like sick of and don't have.
The Chargers have probably cost me about $300 this season.
These two teams that I'm totally staying
Denver,
away from.
Denver, they got blown out at home, and last week they can't even beat, I don't even know, what's the guy's name, Hodges?
Duck Hodges. Yeah, they can't block anyone, and that's the issue here. I mean, that's the issue with so many teams, and the Chargers are one of those teams.
Keenan Allen was mocking the team on Twitter this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, but again, how can you have confidence in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill?
Well, because he might actually be better than Marcus Mariota.
Fair. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's anxious to bet on Tannehill.
So do you have any thoughts on a side or total?
No, I have no thoughts.
So we'll move
game.
Along then to the the marquee game of the day, just based on the 4:25 slot it's in, and it's a good one. The Saints go into Chicago to face the Bears. The Bears are 3.5-point favorites, which I find interesting. Total 38.5 with both teams coming in with extremely strong defenses. Mitch, what do you got on the game of the day?
This one surprised me. I'm really surprised that the spread here isn't under 3 points. I like New Orleans, and I'm going to pick them, especially if you can get it at 3.5. I do have some questions. I mean, we have to wait and see Alvin Kamara's health. I saw the big report that they signed Zach Zenner to potentially fill in. They do have Latavius Murray, though, who has been good in years past. The year that Dalvin Cook was out the whole season, he filled in really well in Minnesota. I mean, they like having both of them. We saw what they did with Kamara and Ingram last year, and Kamara and Murray together this year. But again, you said it. I mean, both of these teams have good defenses. And I know, again, the QB wins crowd is very excited about Teddy Bridgewater. And they've beaten some good teams, and they've been led, you know, by him, but also the defense has been playing well. So I just think, you know, if it's going to be a low scoring, close game, and meanwhile, Trubisky is, it looks like he's coming back, but he's missed some time. It was an injury to his non-throwing shoulder, but you still wonder about him being 100%. You worry about him maybe taking a hit and re-injuring it, and then you've got Chase Daniel back in the game, who they just lost to the Raiders with him under center. So I think in a close, low-scoring game, I'm happy to take the Saints at +3.5.
Gary?
I was going to say, I think you worry about Trubisky if he is 100% anyway. Yeah, this one's tricky. This is going to be this is a game that looks like it's going to be played in the teens. The total is so low that I wouldn't touch it just in case you get Trubisky and he throws a pick six or two. It's tough. No Kamara. I mean, you can't replace Kamara. He's in that class of McCaffrey, Saquon, whoever else you put up there, where no matter who it is, and Latavius Murray is a fine runner, you just lose that dimension. No one's worrying about double teaming Latavius Murray in the passing game like you do with Alvin Kamara. So I'd probably stay away from this one. I'd call it someone's going to win it by a field goal one way or another. So I'd probably lean Saints and sort of get out of there. But this one's tough.
I love the Saints.
Yeah?
A couple of things. Yes. I love the Saints and I'm going with Kamara not playing. I had a heavy investment on the Saints last week. Latavius Murray was outstanding. I think he's a fine – he's not Kamara. I think he'll be fine filling in. I think they'll be able to get the job done there. When Trubisky got hurt, a lot of people started this narrative that the Bears are better off with Chase Daniel. All you had to do was watch Chase Daniel play against the Raiders to know that was ridiculous. Trubisky's still the better quarterback for them, but he's still not – going to get the job done against this Saints defense. If Trubisky was facing a weak defense or something, it's a different story. The Saints defense is really, really good. Bears also lose offensive lineman Kyle Long for the year. So I think this game just gets completely dominated by the Saints defense. I think they win it outright, and you're getting the 3.5. So for me, it's a good one.
Bears lost Akeem Hicks, too, who's probably the most underrated superstar in the league. You wonder if Latavius Murray's just going to ram it up the middle and you know, carry 24 times for 120 yards.
And you get a lot of Taysom Hill and a lot of, you know, trick plays. And, you know, they run everything, the other Saints. Their offense is equipped to sort of make up for the loss of Kamara in other ways. So I love the Saints in this one. The last 4 o'clock game of the day, it's a good one. Interesting matchup. Seahawks at home giving 3.5 points to the Ravens. High total here, 50.5, which is interesting. Gary, Seahawks -3.5 with the against Ravens.
Yeah, I stay away. The game's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a great game to watch if you just... If you just enjoy watching football,
right.
Sometimes
it's the opposite of Chargers Titans.
Exactly. Yeah. If you need something to, well, I guess you can't even cleanse your palate. Just please don't watch Chargers Titans.
Right.
I just kind of say this. It comes down to Lamar Jackson. The Seahawks have kind of let everyone hang around this year. Lamar, tough environment on the road. It's a Seahawks defense that. They don't blitz a lot. They play a lot of zone. That means a lot of guys, a lot of fast guys in that defense, and they all have their eyes on Lamar. I don't think he's going to go off for another 100-something yards rushing. Is he going to continue to make strides with his arm? I don't know. I think that's a major question in this one, and it's enough for me to just say I'll stay away from it because I just don't really have a good read on how it's going to play for Lamar in this one.
Mitch?
Well, you have to be very careful saying anything negative about Lamar Jackson because people will get very mad at you if you do that. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he hasn't been above 300 yards passing since week one. He hasn't been above 250 in any of the last three games. I know people got really excited in week one about the connection he had with Hollywood Brown, and, you know, I did too. Again, I know that Lamar brings a lot to the game besides just his passing numbers, and obviously we know what he can do rushing. But really, the Ravens haven't beaten anyone that good, I don't think. I'm looking at their schedule. They beat the Dolphins, Cardinals, Steelers, Bengals, and then they lost to the Chiefs and Browns. So none of that has me too excited. You know, they seem like they're probably the favorites in the AFC North at this point, and you know they're in first place. But Seattle has been really good. You guys know I like picking road teams, but Seattle is one of those home field advantages that does make me stop and think that it's hard to pick a team to go win there. So this is one I'm not like you said. I think I'm more excited to just sit and watch this as a football game, and I think it's gonna be fun. I love seeing what Russell Wilson has done all season, and so I lean Seattle. But again, you know, I don't want to say anything too bad about Lamar Jackson. I don't want this pick to be seen as slander against him because that will get you in trouble in certain corners of the internet. But so this game is a lean Seattle for me.
Well, I'm not afraid of getting people mad, so I'll be more than happy to say that I don't think Lamar Jackson's that good, and I like the Seahawks here. I'm sorry, he's just not that good of a quarterback. Like Mitch said, the Ravens have not beaten anyone great. Their offense has not been explosive. I think the 50.5 here is a bizarre total.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, when they have to pass, it's just not something that gets done. Sorry if people are mad about that, but watch the games and you can see he's just not a great quarterback. I love the Seahawks here. Coming home, only given 3.5. They've got everything going right now. The mystique of the Seahawks home field advantage, I think, is a little overrated. They've struggled a little bit at home over the last couple of years in terms of getting covers, which is what we care about. But I don't see the Ravens going in here and winning this game. The Raven defense, I think, is a little overrated. They give up a lot of big plays. So I like the Seahawks here, -3.5. So sorry if Lamar Jackson fans want to send me tweets. I'll mute you and we can move on. All right, Sunday night, NBC. Alan Chris will be calling Eagles Cowboys. Dallas struggling, losing at the Jets last week. They're giving 3 to the incoming Eagles, who have struggled all season with a just non-existent defense, basically. Total 48.5. Mitch, what do you got on Sunday night?
Well, I'm going to be called a homer for this one. I do like Philly plus three. I will correct you on one account. They've had a non-existent secondary, but I think that they have been okay.
See, that's a homer comment.
Stopping
their
the run against all these. Their secondary has been awful and has been embarrassing in a bunch of games. I'm not afraid to say that. Yeah. But the Cowboys, they have some major injuries. I mean, Amari Cooper being out this week is a huge blow, especially because he's the player who would best be able to take advantage of that huge weakness. But they're also going to be missing both of their starting tackles on the offensive line. So the Eagles, their pass rush has been underwhelming compared to especially what people expected from that group going into the season. But, if they get to face a team that's missing two tackles, you'd think they ought to be able to get to Dak and get at least a few sacks this game. I promise I'm not going to pick the Eagles every week, but given some of the injuries that we've got from Dallas, I was surprised. Again, this is another one where I was surprised that the spread was 3 and would have thought it would be, a little bit lower than that. So if you're going to give me plus 3 for the Eagles, I'm going to take it.
Gary, what do you got here as we go to someone objective on this game?
Yeah, and I think I'll throw this really quickly back to Mitch, our Eagles correspondent. I think Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills back this week.
Yep, I wrote that down. I didn't want to talk too long about the Eagles because I was getting the eyes from Jimmy, but that is true. So they are going to have some reinforcements.
There's something to be said for being good enough at the reactionary positions, being the defensive backfield and the offensive line, and I think those two maybe make them good enough back there to not be a disaster. It lets Jim Schwartz do some blitzing that he had to pull back on when they were playing some dudes out there who probably shouldn't be on the field. So I'm with it. That plus the Amari injury plus the tackles missing. I think the Cowboys are just too short-handed at this point. So I'll take the Eagles on the road here.
I thought this was going to be, we have Ravens Seahawks 50.5 and we have Arizona and the Giants 50. I thought this would be a 50 for sure. I'm all in on the over here. Like I said, I think the Eagles defense stinks, but Philly can score points, and I don't see them stopping the Cowboys. So I don't have a full feel here on side with both teams struggling lately, but I do like the over in this one. We wrap it up Monday night. The Jets coming off that win against the Cowboys have everyone believing now. Sam Darnold back at the helm. They have a competent quarterback, and C.J. Mosley back as well, which will be big for the defense.
Properly spleened.
Yes. Their rivals, which are not really rivals because they beat them every time, the Patriots come into town. It's the Patriots minus 10 at the Jets, total 42.5. Gary, Monday night, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I was the lone person left on the Adam Gase bandwagon.
Yeah.
So I am firmly seated and buckled in, and I'll ride this out the rest of the year. That's too many points to be given them at home. And again, Adam Gase beat the Patriots at home straight up each of the last 2 years with a team that was much, 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 much worse than this Jets roster is. So getting those points at home, again, we've seen the Patriots have been struggle is overstating it, but relative to what they have been the last couple of years, the offense is relatively struggling. I think it's a relatively low scoring game, but I like the Jets hanging around in this one.
Mitch?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's way too many points. And you're right, their offense, the Patriots' offense has been struggling a little bit. They've been able to mask it because their defense scores multiple touchdowns every single week, it seems. But really, I think it would take a defensive touchdown or a huge turnover, with the Jets deep in their own zone or two of them for the game to get this out of hand. The Jets surprised me last week. I did not see that coming at all. And maybe that's also coloring my opinion of Dallas if we go back to the last game. But yeah, I just think this is going to be closer than a 10-point spread. And, if the Patriots don't get that defensive touchdown, which we can't just assume that they're going to do that every single week for the rest of the season, then, I definitely like the Jets to cover here.
I will happily disagree with both of you and tell everyone out there that the Patriots minus 10 is the play here. And I'm basing it all on one thing and one thing only. The Jets were on national TV last week. The game went out to most of the country, beat the Cowboys. Sam Darnold came back, and now people are going to say, oh, give me, it's a lot of points on the at home, blah, blah, blah. Tommy and Bill, take care of it. Tommy and Bill will bring the Jets right back down to earth. So I am on the Patriots in this one. I think the Jets were obviously better than they were with Luke Falk. I don't think they're as good as they are last week, and now New England. And New England needs to get that offense going, and I think it happens in this one. So that wraps up the analysis of all of the Week 7 games. It's time now to give you our best bets. And like I said earlier at the top of this, Gary and Mitch, very impressive last week. Can they keep it up again? We shall see. So quickly run down the best bets, Gary.
I got five here, and correct me if I'm wrong on the spreads here, Jamie. I have to be a better listener. That's my New Year's
go ahead.
We got to shop around. Yeah. It's important. If you see a better number somewhere else, take it.
I am going to go Rams -3 at Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Bengals +3 at home against Jacksonville.
Okay.
I will go Colts -1 at home against the Texans. I will go Jets +10 on Monday Night Football against the Patriots, and I'll go with the total here, as we discussed, Jimmy, under 50 on that Cardinals-Giants game.
Was that only five? I felt like you just rattled off seven things there.
Give me all the games.
How many bets was that?
That was five.
Okay.
That was five.
All right, well, I will give you mine. First off, Gary, we are in agreement because I also have the Jets +10 against the Patriots. I'm going to take that. I'm sticking with big numbers here. I'm going to take that 49ers -9.5 at Washington. I like that. And then, Jimmy, I think I'm with you on this one. I'm also going to take New Orleans +3.5 at Chicago. And then my last one, Gary, you and I are in direct conflict because I'm going to go with the Jaguars -3 against the Bengals.
All right. I like this. We got some conflicts and everything. I've got five as well. I really have one. My one is the Saints +3.5. That is the cream of the crop right there, but I'll give you four others.
Good bet, Jimmy.
Thank you. Over 54 Rams Falcons. I think those teams go up and down the field all day long, and points will be at a premium. Not at a premium. What's the word? Premium is when there are no points, right? I messed that up.
They will be at
a plenty. In an abundance.
Yeah. In abundance is good.
I'm an editor.
Yeah. Points a plenty.
That's what happens when you try to do that, like, you know, garbage, like sports person speak. Yeah, there are points are at a premium, and then you mess up, you know, the thing.
In the National Football League.
How about this? I'll talk like a dope. There'll be a lot of points. Okay. So over 54 Rams Falcons. Seahawks -3.5 at home. Keep things rolling for them. Love the over 48.5 Sunday night. Eagles-Dallas with that Eagle defense struggling. And Patriots -10 at the Jets on Monday night. So it'll be fun to see where we all fall in this because we have some disagreements. So next week we'll be able to break it down. And that is it for Week 7 in the NFL. Good luck on your best bets. How do we feel after our first show together this season? I think things went well.
Much better having everyone in the same room. Last week, I mentioned Gary was in a dark basement Google Hangouts. This is better to see everyone's face.
I was holding up today's newspaper to make clear that I was still alive.
Well, at least it worked out with your best bet, so we'll see if we can do it again. And we'll see everybody every Friday. You can get this podcast downloaded wherever you download Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Friday mornings. The MMQB Gambling Podcast. That wraps it up for this week, and we'll see you next week. Take care.